I'd like for you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. And if you want to, just follow along. Every now and then I'll preach a message and put it up on the screen. And I like to do that every now and then. And this morning I've added just some colorful graphics to kind of make it kind of go along with the scripture. You know, we operate visually a lot of times. But I don't want to be one of these deals where we have church and, you know, you don't have to bring a Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church. Amen. Amen. Because, I mean, God will deal with you that way. You might see something while I'm preaching or while Brady or Bradley's preaching or something like that. You might see something in your Bible that doesn't have anything to do with what was preached. And God will be dealing with you and God will show you something. You can underline that and make a note of it. Amen. That's good. Amen. And that's what we want you to do. Luke chapter 2. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. I have had this message on my heart for several weeks. It's unusual for me to get a themed message way in advance. Usually I'm really struggling over it. And a lot of times if I can't come up with a message or God doesn't give a message that goes along with maybe a particular day that's going on, then so be it. Just preach what God told you to preach. Amen. But God gave me this message here a while back. And I love this time of year. I really do. I love it. I used to love it when I was a kid for obvious reasons. Okay? But I when I was a child, I spake as a child and understood as a child. But now that I'm a man, I put away most of my childish things. Let me hear you say amen. We ain't got all of them yet, but we got rid of most of them. Amen? And when I grew up this time of year, Christ's coming means everything to me. Because if Christ came one time, I know that He's coming again. And I want to preach the coming of the Lord until the Lord finally comes, until our faith becomes sight. And then in that day, we won't need Bibles to carry around to read anymore. God's going to write His Word in our hearts. Somebody say amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. But God gave me a message here. Now, let's just follow the Scriptures here very quickly. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world," and this is the favorite verse of Nancy Pelosi, "that all the world should be taxed." Amen. They want to tax everybody in the whole world. In fact, there will be, you watch, you mark it down, there will be a world tax for too long. "That which was," the Bible says, "is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun." And what this was all about is that Caesar Augustus wanted to know how many people was in his empire so he could know how many people he could tax. That's what it was all about. And so anyway, so that all the world should be taxed. "This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now I want to stop right here, and I want you to take your Bible. I do not have this on the screen. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Micah, if you would, please. Turn to the book of Micah. I want to tell you why this verse is important in your Bible, why God did not choose to leave it out of your Bible. Micah chapter 5. You remember the story. This is given to us, I think it's in the book of Matthew, where the book of Matthew is giving you the story of the birth of Christ. There are two Gospels that tell us that, Matthew and Luke, and they're both given different ideas and different parts of the story of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And you remember there was a guy by the name of Herod, and Herod wanted to know where this child was to be born because he was called King of the Jews, and Herod was King of the Jews, and he didn't like that. And Herod had a devil in him. The devil is the same one that was back in the Garden of Eden that when God said, "I'm going to put a curse on you, devil, and you're going to crawl on the ground, and you're going to eat dust, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the seed of the serpent." And the devil has been trying to kill the offspring of God ever since. You believe the Bible, say amen. And so anyway, and by the way, he'll try to kill you because you're an offspring of God. He hates your guts. You believe that? Say amen. So Herod wanted him killed. And Herod brought in the wise men and the scholars and inquired, "Where is he to be born that is King of the Jews?" Well, these scholars, they turned to the Bible. Look what it says in Micah chapter 5. The Bible says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now I want to tell you, let me just throw this in here real quick. There's some Bibles out there that says whose origins are from ancient times. Let me tell you something about the God that I serve. He does not have an origin. He does not have a beginning. He will not have an end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He always was and He always will be. His name is Jesus Christ and He's everlasting to everlasting. Somebody say amen. And so if you got a Bible that says origins, lose that Bible. Put it on top of your car as you're driving home and forget about it. Amen. I was driving down the road the other day, and there was about four McDonald's sacks laying. In fact, it was over here on North Mill over here. There's four McDonald's sacks laying right in the middle of the street there, and I'm going, somebody sat down on top of their car and forgot about it. I ought to stop and get it. I ain't that bad. Amen. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you what He always was. He is right now and He always will be. Somebody say, you cannot get rid of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Listen, they may take the nativity scenes down out of every city hall that there is in the United States of America and may tell all the school kids to quit saying Merry Christmas and all this nonsense that they do. But I want to tell you something. You will not get rid of Jesus. Will not get rid of Him. I better pace myself. I want you to notice that Joseph and Mary are not in Bethlehem. And she is already with child. Not by Joseph. That's another issue. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Joseph was not his father. Okay? She is already with child. He has already decided not to put her away in divorce, but to keep her. But he has not been with her, but she is already with child, and she is not in Bethlehem where she needs to be. And I want you to look at the miracle of God Almighty. And I want you to think about this. Now, go back here to Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus was a pagan idol worshiper who he was not a Christian man. He was not a believer in the Bible. He was not looking for the Messiah. He was not trying to, he definitely was not trying to fulfill Bible prophecy. And let me tell you something about how powerful God is. God doesn't care how big and bad you are here on this earth. Amen. If He gets ready to move, He'll move. And you will not stand in His way. So watch this. God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to tax the entire world to get everybody to move, to get Joseph and Mary to leave Nazareth and travel all the way down to Bethlehem at exactly the right time. That gives me a lot of confidence in God, who knows how to do things that I can't do. Christians and churches do not need to manipulate the power of God. He'll manifest His power when He's ready to manifest it. Can I hear God's people say amen? We don't need to jump the pews in order to get the spirit fire started in this church. I don't need to come in with a big excited deal and put on a big show to everybody so that you say, boy, we had a good time in church. Old Brother Mike was just sweating all over the place. I don't need to do that. What we need to do is we need to believe this Bible right here and that God will do what He's ready to do when He's ready to do it, and He'll do it in His time. The Bible says that at the dispensation of the fullness of times, God sent His Son. It was at exactly the right moment and the right time. Always trust in God's timing. Can I hear you say amen? To be taxed with Mary, His espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, imagine that. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we're talking about the King of the entire world. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about a king who, by earthly standards, should belong in a palace somewhere. But there was no room for him in the palaces. There was no room for him in the hotels and the motels. There was no room in the trailer courts. All he had was a manger to sleep in. And I want you to follow that up here in a minute. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Who's been a shepherd before? Say amen. Who's ever been in a Christmas place somewhere with a towel wrapped around your head and a rope? You ain't had fun until you've been in a shepherd in a Christmas place. Amen. Ain't nothing like it in the world. Amen, Jared. I just had to throw that. I just love that picture. Amen. They were in the same country, shepherds, biding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I'm going to preach on these shepherds this morning, all right? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy. Don't let Walmart steal your joy. Don't let the credit card company steal your joy. Amen. Don't let Super Nintendo steal your joy. Amen. Don't let that stuff steal your joy. You've got great joy, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I believe anybody can get saved. Amen. I believe the dirtiest dog in the whole world can get saved. I believe people on the other side of the world can get saved. Don't you? Isn't that what you believe? And started out with a few shepherds. For unto you is born this day, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to... In fact, say that with me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Did you know that some of these other Bibles twist that around and they'll say, and on earth, peace to men of goodwill. You know what that kind of indicates to everybody? That if you're good enough, then you'll get peace. Who in here has been good enough? Who's been on the naughty list? Amen? And yet God wanted you to have peace and goodwill. Somebody say amen. Because it's not about us at the coming of Christ. It's about Christ. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'm going to preach this morning. God gave the shepherds. Let's bow our head and ask God to help me preach this message, not just for physical strength, but for God's blessing to be in His Word going into our hearts today. Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity, for this time. I thank You, dear God, Lord, for putting so much peace and so much goodness in my heart. God, I'm so thankful, dear God, for the wife that I have and the family that I have and the church that I have. And Lord, dear God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this Word, and I thank You for the blood that has washed my sins away. And oh, Lord, dear God, I pray, dear God, that You'd put a message in our heart, Father, Lord, and stir us up, dear God. Lord, Father, the whole world hates Jesus. In fact, they hate this time of year. They hate that we have a holiday dedicated to Him, Lord. They hate God. They hate You, God. But Father, Lord, we're thankful to have You in our hearts. And we ask, dear God, Lord, that You'd just give us a blessing today on this Lord's Day. Father, Lord, that You would make us, dear God, good shepherds. That would be glad, dear God, that we've heard the tidings that we've heard. And glad, dear God, and thankful, dear God, for the things that we have. Father, Lord, just bless this message. And I pray, Lord, that You would just be in it, dear God. Speak to these people's hearts. Dear God, speak to mine, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I want you to notice one of the most prominent things here that's been talked about probably by a lot of preachers is that when Jesus came on the scene and there was an annunciation from heaven concerning the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being born on this earth, is that the angels did not appear to Herod. They did not appear to the Roman leaders. They did not appear to Caesar Augustus. They did not go to the Sanhedrin nor to the high councils of Israel. These angels were dispatched by God to the lowest of all low people on this earth. God does not call the wise of this world. God does not call the rich of this world. And God does not call the strong of this world. And if we, you know, usually at Christmas time, we start reflecting on the year that's been before us. Appreciate what Alicia testified to this morning. But we start reflecting back on the year that we've had. And I can tell you that usually we mark the year by our weaknesses and our failures rather than our accomplishments. Can I hear you say amen? And God, but here's what happens is that the politicians love to get up and tell you what all good things they've done for you. Yeah, right. Amen. Don't believe them anymore. The politicians love to talk about what good things they've done. The movie stars love to get up and talk about what good things they've done. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you're looking at a preacher that's going to tell you what Jesus has done in my life this week. Somebody say amen. What He's done in my life this year. I'm going to tell you something. God does not call the strong. He does not call the famous people of the world. He does not call the rich people. He does not call the political power groups in this world. God goes out into the fields and God finds people who are of no substance in this earth. People have to get out and work for a living every day. People don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Amen. That's who, people that haven't been to college and don't have PhDs behind their names and don't have a lot of connections with the political process and don't have a lot of bank accounts. God is the one. God goes to you people. Somebody say amen. I tell you what, you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that you don't have to achieve a status in this world in order to have God's grace on you. In fact, the poorer you are, the richer in grace you are. The weaker you are physically, the stronger you are spiritually. Somebody say amen. And God appeared to shepherds. But not only that, God had prophesied way back in the Old Testament that God was going to give them shepherds. God was going to send shepherds. Now I want to think about just a few minutes what the Bible kind of says about shepherds. Shepherds watch over a sheep. Shepherds watch over a flock. So I want you to think about it, and as I was putting this thing together, it was coming out primarily as a sermon to those who, let's say, who are in some kind of leadership. Let's say it's the leadership of a home. Daddy, did you know that you're a shepherd? Your wife and your children are your sheep. They are the sheep of your flock. And I want you to notice about these shepherds here. These shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. And I'm going to deal with that here in a little bit about the responsibility of us as shepherds. If we are pastors, then we're shepherds. If we're daddies, we're shepherds. If you're mama living in a single home with children, you are a shepherd. God has given you things to oversee. Let's say that you have a responsibility at your job where you oversee certain things in your employment. Then this falls for you as well. Any place in realm in life where you have a responsibility over something, you are as a shepherd in that situation. I want you to, does everybody follow that? Say amen. There's two kinds of shepherds in this world. God talks about what He calls the hirelings. Jesus told a story in parable form. He told a parable about a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. And He said, ye are the sheep. And He said, you'll know me, number one, because you'll know my voice. And I believe God's people ought to know His voice. Amen. You know what God's voice sounds like? Sounds like King James Bible. Amen. That's what God's voice sounds like. And I want to tell you something. If you're hearing a voice that does not sound like that Bible, that's not God's voice. Hey, somebody say amen. But you know what? People are falling for it right and left. They're hearing stuff. They're listening to stuff out of pulpits that's not even in any Bible anywhere. They're listening to junk coming out of the pulpits and they're falling for that stuff. That's not the voice of God. You'll hear, I heard a guy one time, he was on one of these Christian talk shows, talking about how you can hear the voice of God. You know what he's telling you to do, Jared? He's telling you to get away in a place somewhere and light a bunch of candles and play some soft music and empty your mind and go into transcendental meditation. And then all of a sudden, when you fall into a trance, then you'll start hearing voices come out of the inside of you. He said, that's God. I'm here to tell you it's a lie. You want to hear God's voice? Get your Bible out and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's the voice of God. Somebody say amen. No other voice of God than this Bible right here. But anyway, Jesus is talking about that. And He said, you'll know me as the shepherd because I'm at the doorway. In fact, I not only come in the doorway, I am the doorway. But He said, a hireling. You know what a hireling is? It's some guy they pulled off the street that they said, won't you watch these sheep now for a couple hours while I go get some rest? That hireling doesn't care about those sheep. He's got no interest in it other than getting a paycheck. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to preach for a few minutes. We got too many hireling pastors behind the pulpits in this country. They're showing up for a paycheck, a big fat paycheck, and they're being highly paid by these churches and all this stuff. And really, and a lot of times what they'll do is that they'll use the church that they're at right now as a stepping stone to get the bigger church. Am I telling you the truth? That's exactly how it is in this country. And those pastors are nothing more than hirelings. They've been hired by the board and hired by the church to come in and fill the pulpit from Sunday to Wednesday night. But that pastor has no interest in the glory of God. Neither does that church have no interest in the glory of God. And the wolves are coming in right and left. By the way, daddies, that's the same way it is with you. Don't be a hireling daddy. Don't be, in fact, let's read the scripture up here. Isaiah said they're greedy dogs which can never have enough. How does that work at the workplace? What's wrong with the workplace environment in America? Is that nobody cares about anything else other than themselves anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about anything. They're greedy dogs and they can't have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look at their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow, well, in fact, let me just preach this. If we were believing the Bible in this country, we wouldn't need to do on the spot drug inspections on the job site every other day. Why do we have to do that? Because companies know that people show up to work either drunk or on drugs. Don't be surprised when they start taking away your rights in this country. It's not the government that's taking away your rights. It's the people who will not follow the law in this country that's taking away our rights. Amen? The government's just trying to keep up with all the lawbreakers in this country. This is where we've gotten to in this country. Daddies will not be daddies in their homes anymore. What a shame. Shameful situation we have in this country. Pastors will not be pastors. Workplace environments are not what they need to be and what not what they could be. This is one of the reasons why we don't have jobs in this country anymore. Unless you go to Mexico. If you don't mind working for $1 an hour down there, just go right on ahead. This is one of the reasons why. Because we got too many hirelings in the workplace, too many hirelings in the home, too many hirelings in Washington, D.C., and too many of them behind the pulpit. Somebody say amen. Tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. That's what them guys on Wall Street think every day. Amen. Made $1 million yesterday, going to make $2 million today. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Why? Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Brady, what's wrong with the kids in America? Their daddies and their mamas. How many of y'all believe that? Kids cannot raise themselves. Parents need to raise kids. Sunday school teachers and church pastors need to raise kids and youth leaders need to raise kids. But kids cannot raise themselves. And what's wrong with America is what's wrong with the rest of this country is that all the sheep are going astray. And who led them astray? The shepherds. The shepherds did. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm fixing to preach here just for a few minutes about us being shepherds. And I think we need to get it right in our lives. That this is the guidebook. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard to live by this book. In fact, if you want me to be honest about it, for me, it is impossible to live by this book. I cannot fulfill the law in my life. But that does not negate my obligation to follow, to study, to act, and to lead as to the best of my ability, God supplying the deficit that I don't have in me being a blessing to my wife and leading my wife in the right direction, and me being a blessing and leading my children in the right direction, or me leading this church in the right direction. And let me tell you something, I love you. There are people all over this world who would give anything if they could move to this town and come to this church because they know that they're going to be led, not by me, but by this book. That's what they know. Can I hear God's people say amen? That's not a pat on my back. I don't want it. It'll hurt.
Too bad. Don't pat me on the back.
I got a stitch right back there. But few and far between are the churches that will lead their people according to what's in this book. If you're thankful for anything, let's be thankful that this is it right here in Bethel Church. Can I hear you say amen? Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. And I'll say our politicians have led the charge in this country. It's our politicians. I don't know if you watched the president the other day give his little bill signing speech when he repealed don't ask, don't tell in the military. It was sickening. He praised Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank for their tremendous leadership and great Americanism. What a sad day in this country. What a sad, sad, sick day in this country. And I want to tell you, I was talking to somebody the other day. Who was I talking to? Oh, a doctor said he works at an army base. He's a doctor at an army base. And he said the colonel was talking to him about that. And he said, I'm going to retire. And he said, why? He said, I'm going to retire before they make being queer mandatory in the military. One step at a time. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. You know who your resting place is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat and ye clothe ye with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. It is the job of the pastor. It is the job of the daddy. It is the job of the Sunday school teacher. It is the job of the leader, those who are in leadership, to feed your people, to take care of them. Somebody say amen. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought ye that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And that's exactly what we see in the United States of America, in just about every home in this country, is that the beasts have come in and devoured the children of this country. That's why they're living the way they're living, doing what they're doing, and it's manifest and evident in just about every young person's life in this country. Let's look at the good shepherds. God said in Isaiah 40, the good shepherd, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Daddies, you know how to feed your family? Go to work. Go to work. Get you a job. And go to work. The daddies need to feed their families. Can I hear you say amen? It's not mama's job. It falls upon mamas a lot of times. And God will bless that. But it's not mama's job. It's the shepherd's job to feed the flock. Can I hear you say amen? I've counseled with people. I counseled with a guy one time whose big objective in life was to do nothing but get on every government program that he could get on so he wouldn't have to, wouldn't it that he couldn't work. He was just too lazy to find a job and go out and get a job. And I counseled with him one time and I said, you know, that's really not the right way to go about in life. Now, listen, if you got disabilities, you got disabilities, and I understand that. But this guy didn't. His only disability was he didn't want to get up away from his computer where he's looking at pornography all day long. That was his disability. Am I getting there? Because our nation is becoming full of people. Men who want somebody else to take care of their responsibility. And it's not up to that. It's not my responsibility. I'm not going to tell you. Now, if you really want to be fed, there's some really good radio programs on Christian radio during the week you could listen to. That'll help you out a lot. Listen, I'm only going to tell you to listen to one radio program every day at 3 o'clock. I can't tell you about the others because I don't listen to them. But I will tell you, it is my responsibility to tell you, you need fed throughout the week and you're not here, get your Bible out and start munching. Amen? You wake up 1 o'clock in the morning like I did the other day, 2 o'clock in the morning. You get the munchies, get your Bible out, start munching. Amen. Feed from the Word of God. Feed from the Bible. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather lambs with his arm. That means a daddy or a pastor or someone in the workplace or even a politician or a leader of some kind. That means they ought to be loving the people that they are supposed to be caring for. You cannot care for people you do not love. Daddies, husbands, love your wives. Daddies, love your children. Gather them in your arms. Care for them. Nah, I won't say that. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. Watch this now. Watch what God does. And will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now, would you look at verse 4? Would you look at verse 4? God said, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Along with all the things that we talked about a while ago, one of the reasons why the angels, when they first came to deliver the message to the entire world that the Savior had been born in Bethlehem, one of the reasons why they came to shepherds was that God said, in such a time when all of your shepherds have scattered you and driven you to the wind, and the Jewish scholars and the synagogue rabbis of the day were doing exactly that. They were not giving them the law. They were giving them man's tradition based upon the law. And they're not the same. Man's gospel and God's gospel are two different things. Can I hear you say amen? Man's gospel will bring you into bondage. God's gospel will free you. And Jesus came at exactly such a time when the Jewish rabbis had put everybody in so much bondage by everything that they had to do that they themselves did not have to do. And God said, at that exact time, I am going to send you... Look what He said. I'm going to set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Now notice this. And it came to pass as angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Now I'm going to be preaching to daddies, I'm going to be preaching to preachers, I'm going to be preaching to mamas, and anybody in any kind of leadership, and I don't care if it's just a small deal that God has given you, I'm going to preach this to you, but I'm going to preach it to you as a born-again Christian, that the angels have appeared to you through this Bible and are telling you that Jesus has been born. Listen, that's good tidings boy, you don't know how bad I want to jump. That's good tidings of great joy. Amen. That angels were dispatched out of heaven to bring us the gospel and tell us that the Savior has been born and I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. I don't want to go to hell. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. And that's great joy. And as shepherds, all of us sitting here today, as shepherds, as lowly people, as people who have nothing in this world as far as substance or popularity is concerned, I think, number one, that if God's going to bother to tell us, that we ought to be seeking shepherds. Seeking shepherds. Notice they said, when the angels came, delivered the message, they didn't say, did you see that? Was that a UFO? We need to call this in to Art Bell on Coast to Coast. Or call the newspaper magazines or whatever it is. They said, you know what? Let's go see this thing. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You say you don't know how to witness somebody? Ask God how to witness somebody. He'll tell you. Amen. You say you don't know how to bring the situation up? Ask God to help you bring the situation up. The situation will come up. Amen? Ask God. Ask God. Ask God. Seek out those things. Read your Bible. To those of you who sit in this congregation and to the pastor who stands before you, who from time to time doubts the faith and from time to time doubts salvation and from time to time doubts God's goodness, let me tell you, seek and ye shall find. We ought to be seeking shepherds. Amen. When the Bible says when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And I want you to get this. When they finally went to see Jesus, and they got so excited that what the angel had told them was true, when they went out, number one, you ought to go tell somebody. And this is why I'm not ashamed that we come here on December 26th. And let me just give you a little background. There's some people out there that watch us regularly, that really like our ministry. They don't like Christmas. I can't help it. I can't help it. When it comes around and I have an opportunity, listen, a lot of you know me, I'm not very, I mean, I get up here and act all mouthy and stuff like this because I'm behind this big, thick oak pulpit. I know you can't get to me real fast from here. When I'm in a crowd, especially people that I know, I'm very timid and I'm very shy. And I'm not, here again, I'm not patting myself on the back. But I want to tell you what, it's inside me so much. I stood there with the family yesterday and said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the gift that you have, that if you turn this gift away, you ain't got nothing in this world. That's the gift of the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. And I'm not normally like that around a group of people, especially around family. But I'm not backing down. If I get an opportunity one time a year to talk about Jesus, in fact, stop and think about this for a minute. What other time of the year can you get people listening to the gospel in song?
Yeah, exactly.
Even Britney Spears will sing Silent Night. Amen. She needs to get saved. Amen. So you know what, shepherds? You've been told the good news. You ought to spread it abroad. You ought to spread it abroad. Or support what is being spread abroad. Amen? Now, I didn't ask for money. Because I don't do that. But I'm here to tell you, we have a ministry in this church where we're spreading abroad the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And if you don't do anything other than amen it and pray for it, then God will bless it. You believe that? Say amen. Okay? And we're trying to reach out in our own backyard. And there's a guy up North St. Louis named Melvin. That's lost his legs. That's listening to the truth. And he loves this church. And you tell God thank you. You tell God thank you. But notice that when they had seen it, they made known abroad what? Their experience? Did they make known abroad what they saw? What did they make known abroad, Bradley? The sayings. The Word. Preach the Bible, people. Give them Bible verses. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I want to tell you something. When you start preaching the gospel, people will wonder. And you know what they'll start doing? They'll start thinking about things that they'd never thought before. And I hope I planted a seed yesterday with some family members that I know are lost. And I hope I got them wondering, when I die, am I going to go to heaven? When I die, am I going to go to heaven? I hope they're wondering. All you got to do is plant a seed, people. That's all you got to do. And I'll tell you what, these shepherds were thankful. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. How? How? As it was told to them. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I was thankful yesterday morning that my whole family was gathered together in my living room. Okay? I was even thankful they spent the night. And I was so sore yesterday because I got up and fed them all breakfast. Amen, Michael? They woke up to sausage! Ain't nothing better. Amen? I was thankful that my family was in my house yesterday morning. And we had a good time. I was thankful that I saw the joy and the delight of my kids. I was watching Michaela yesterday tearing up wrapping. That's so funny. I'm thankful for this book.
If I lost my wife and my family and everything that I had, I would be thankful that I still had the words that were spoken to me. And I want to tell everybody that I know and everybody that I don't know that I have the words that have been spoken to me.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.